All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion and we'll... One of the best ways to honor and lift up Jesus is to honor and lift up his sacrifice and acknowledge his sacrifice and look at what his sacrifice did for us in the healing, for our healing, our well-being. And Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. So when we look at this bread, we're looking at the body of Christ. And we're seeing the different things. We're identifying the different things that his sacrifice did for us in his passion. And one of the things, the biggest miracle that ever happened was Jesus dying on the cross and forgiving our sins. And somehow we get to thinking that our healing might be a tougher job than our sins. But God places the sin problem as a bigger challenge than our healing. When we look at this body, we can see that this body, this bread, has been beaten and bruised. And he was beaten and bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten and bruised for us. He took internal bleeding. And this bread has also been pierced. And everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And every time he shed blood, we get redemption from it. And it'd be a good thing for you to go find these different places where he shed his blood. You know, when he shed blood with the crown of thorns, when he shed blood at the rock of Gethsemane, when he shed blood out of his hands, when he shed blood out of his feet, he shed blood out of his back and out of his side. We get freedom in some area because of that. But if we don't know what it is, we're not going to be able to operate in it. Also, if you notice, this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. In fact, our healing was taken care of before our sins were. And this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that we deserved, was laid on Jesus. So God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus was not spilled. It was, there's some people say that word and it just drives me nuts. Because that means, it sounds like it's an accident. But it was shed. It was poured out on purpose. The blood of Jesus did things that no man could ever devise a way to do. The blood of Jesus washed away our sins. But it also gave us, because of the blood of Jesus, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. No man has ever been able to do that. And it's this shed blood of Jesus that not only protects us, but it seals in the New Testament promises for us in his word. And it's that blood of Jesus. When we claim the power of the blood of Jesus over our lives, it does great things that we can't do for ourselves. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Happy Mother's Day. We have, Trevor, can you hand out flowers to all the mothers in here? Well, happy Mother's Day. Open your Bibles up to the book of Job, chapter 5. Then there's been a lot of people praying over what's going on in the border and the different things that have been happening. And we do need the government to step up and do their job. But even though we are in this world, we're not of this world. And we operate by different kingdom rules. And there are things that seem to really have a major effect on the world that shouldn't necessarily have that big of an effect on us. And God's protection is one of those things. There's a lot of people that really depend on the government to protect them. Can you see the foolishness in that? They are supposed to, but if you're putting your confidence in them, you're in trouble. But God's protection surpasses boundaries that the government can't even trespass on. Job chapter 5, verse 19 says that he shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. In famine, he shall redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of the destruction when it comes. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid of the beasts of the earth. So there's a lot of promises in there for us. It seems like with all the things going on, it seems like there's trouble coming from every direction. There's trouble coming from Washington. There's trouble coming from the border. There's trouble coming from the different governments in the state. There's trouble coming from all over the place. And it just seems like no matter which way you turn your head, you can see trouble. But here's the problem. Too many people are looking in this direction and not this direction. When you look in this direction, you're going to see nothing but trouble. But if you look in this direction, you're going to see nothing but blessing. And when we focus on God, when we put our focus and praise on Him, the Bible tells us that the praise stills the avenger. And when you focus on Him, you're focusing on the answer, and that causes your problems to be smaller. Have you ever noticed when you concentrate on a problem, you got to come up with an answer, and this problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? And you concentrate on it some more, and you talk about it some more, and you talk about it some more. Jesus said to talk to your mountain. He gave us the answer. He said to talk to that debt. He said to talk to that sickness. Talk to that poverty. Whatever mountain you may be facing in your life, He says to talk to it, not about it. He didn't say anything about talking about it, but He did say to talk to it. Speak to your mountain and command that thing to be moved. Peter jumped out of the boat when Jesus said, "Come," and he was walking on water. And as long as Peter's eyes were focused on Jesus, he walked on water. I think this is the coolest thing, and it's the very basic part of faith for us to learn how to walk by faith. Peter was walking on water, and it says he was being successful until he started looking at the wind and the waves. I don't know anything about walking on water, but what does wind and waves have to do with walking on water? All it did was it distracted him and got his eyes off Jesus, and then he started sinking. But don't fret. I don't know if he got up to his ankles or his ears. It doesn't matter, but what he did was he hollered on, Jesus, save me. You know, that's the best prayer you can say sometimes. He's the good shepherd, and he's there to save us. You know, sometimes we get this idea that salvation is born again, but it's so much more than born again. And we need salvation while we're here on this earth. It's great to know that we're going to heaven. It's great to know that we're born again and that we will someday be in the presence of Jesus forever. But it's very important to know that while we're on this earth, we have a good shepherd that is here to save us. We have a good shepherd that is here to save us from poverty. We have a good shepherd that is here to save us from fear. We have a good shepherd that is here to save us from destruction. We have a good shepherd that is here to save us from sickness. For right here and now, we don't have to just struggle and barely get along. You know, we don't have to just kind of grind through life until someday we get to cross that sweet by and by and fly away and go to heaven. You know, we need salvation right here on this earth too. We need his protection. We need him to save us from these troubles. In verse 19, he said, he shall deliver us in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you. That's big. That means a lot of troubles can come your way from a lot of different directions, and he's there to deliver you from those. He says, well, your enemy come against you one way, they flee before you 7 ways. So he scatters your enemies. When you look to him, this is one of our biggest challenges. We're always trying to figure it out. I'll figure something out. Well, why don't you just let God figure it out? Did you ask him? I was frustrated. This phone I got, it's got a clock on it. It's my alarm clock. And it's just a pain to deal with. And it just drives me nuts. But it works. But last night, I decided I needed to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, which means I needed to change my alarm clock. And then I was going to have to change it back. And I said, I don't want to deal with this. I said, Holy Spirit, will you just wake me up at 4 o'clock? I promise you, Every day, I sleep until that buzzer goes off. And then I hit the snooze button a few times and sleep a little longer. This morning, I bounced up at 4 o'clock. And I was ready to roll. Thank God for Holy Spirit, who's here to help us in our weaknesses. I didn't learn that. You know, that's not my idea. I didn't come up with that. I've never had an original thought in my life. But I heard about these missionaries that were over in these third world countries, and they didn't have alarm clocks, and they needed to be at certain places at certain times. So they asked Holy Spirit to wake them up so that they could be in these certain places at certain times, and they were never late. He knows so much more than we do. The struggles that we go through in our daily lives, if we had just asked Holy Spirit to help us and guide us and show us how to deal with these, they would be so much smaller. Especially when we get these troubles out of our minds. I really think a lot of what Keith Jarrett told me one time. He said, most of my major calamities that I survived were just in my head. You know, we spend a lot of time worrying about things that really are actually nothing in the eyes of faith. When we meditate on our problems, we turn them into mountains. When we use the name of Jesus, we turn them into mouse turds, into molehills. They turn into small things. These may seem like impossible situations, but how many of you ever been in a position where you thought this is an impossible situation? Maybe you lost a very important loved one at some point that you really depended on and really needed, and this loved one passed away. Or maybe you were faced with a terminal illness, or maybe a sickness or a challenge. Maybe you had a financial disaster in your life. Or maybe you lost a job that you were counting on to get you to your retirement years, and then all of a sudden you had to be retrenched. I want you to look back on your life at some and notice one thing, that God has a 100% track record of bringing you through impossible situations. If you're alive here today and breathing, I mean, he has brought you through all of your impossible situations. And now here you are today with the name of Jesus, and you're meditating on a problem instead of talking to it. Well, God, he said he would deliver you out of six and protect you from seven. Even in famine, he shall redeem you from death and the war from the power of the sword. I like the widow woman that was out there gathering up some sticks to go build a little bit of fire so she could cook the last bit of her meal in a little bit of oil, and she's going to feed her son her last cake and her. And that was going to be their last meal, and they were going to die. This woman, this widow woman, was in a famine. She had no husband to help her. He was gone. And they were out of food. They were out of oil. She was at the end of the rope. She was at an impossible situation. Wouldn't you think that would be a pretty impossible situation? Because she's not the only one that was in a drought. She's not the only one that was in a famine. And then this preacher shows up and says, "Cook me a cake." She said, "Didn't you just hear me? I told you I was going to go cook the last of my food for me and my son, and we're going to go die. And you want some of it." See, God works on a completely different financial system than we do. See, we operate on supply and demand. If I have $100 in my pocket and I give you $10, I have $90 because I took it out of my supply. God doesn't operate on that. He operates on the abundance in Christ, which is never ending and never failing. So if he takes $100 out of his pocket and gives it to Carol, it didn't make a dent in his supply. He has $100 to give to you. See, this is why it's so important. I've seen a lot of Christians get mad because they've seen another Christian get blessed. And say, "Well, why didn't I get blessed? I never miss a day of church. I'm here every time the door swings open. That turkey, I know there's times he's out fishing and hunting when he could have been to church. And he got blessed, and I didn't." Well, you're on the wrong side of the cross. You're trying to earn your blessing instead of receiving. You know, the wayward son took his inheritance and he wandered off and he blew it on crazy wild living. And anyway, he decided he's going to come back home, and his father restored him completely. And his brother come out and threw a fit. Said, "Why are you throwing a party for that turkey? I've been right here working. I've been right here. I didn't do any of those things that he did. And you never once killed a fatted calf for me. His dad said, son, everything that I've had has always been at your disposal. Why didn't you just receive it? We have a lot of Christians that are sitting down griping about what somebody else has received instead of receiving something for them. He's placed us in a position where we're sitting in front of this table. He prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He put it all right there. Oh, man, I had some really cool notes that I was going to preach on, but I'm not getting there. I got one in Scripture. Sometimes you just got to roll with it sometimes, man. We don't know everything. But anyway, He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's from His supply and abundance. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in the country, no matter what the government does, no matter what Washington does, I don't care. There could be 50 wars and He still has an abundant supply for you. He has more than enough. Remember, in John 10:10, the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That word, abundantly, that means more than enough. That means even more than enough. That means even more than what you even thought about. More than enough. That's what He supplies you with. You have to receive it. You're going to receive it. You're not going to earn it. You're going to receive it. That means you're going to have to learn how to relax and say, okay. You know, God, if you just have to bless somebody, I'm right here. You can bless me all you want. That makes some people mad, but you know, I know what to do with the blessing, and we scatter it out. Sometimes, you know, I was wondering. One time we had 9 kids in the house we were feeding, and I was thinking, these years, these ain't my years. You feed them. You know, He always figured out a way to get that done. Even, man, we weren't making very much money either. And we were feeding a lot of kids. And He always figured out a way to get food in our hands to feed these kids. You know, there's something about the Creator. When the Creator creates something, He takes responsibility to take care of it. How many times do you actually look to God as your Creator? Not just your God. Not just your Father, but I'm talking, you're getting into deep worship, not praise, you're getting into deep worship. And you think, Father God, You are my Creator. You created me. I'm 100% dependent upon You. There's nothing I can do to save myself. There's nothing I can honestly do to really take care of myself. I know that my job and my finances are dependent on You. I know I could be gone in a second, but it's because You delivered me from these troubles that I have finances to begin with. You are my Creator. You're my good shepherd. I depend on You to feed me. I depend on You to lead me beside the still waters. That verse says, and in war from the power of the sword. One of the most powerful things I read about World War II was there was a lady in England, and the Germans were just bombing England. I mean, destroying that place. And there was a spirit-filled woman there that believed God and took him at his word. And she said, God, it says in your word that you never sleep and that you're protecting me. So there's no sense in both of us staying awake all night. She got good night's sleep all night long, every night. And she was protected from the sword. See, we can lay claim to his promises. We can make those promises personal to us. When we see those promises in the Bible, we say, thank you, Father, for this. This is mine. You realize we spend a lot of time asking God for things that he's already given us? And Jesus gave us the secret to receiving from God when he went to the tomb of Lazarus. He said, thank you, Father, for hearing my prayers. Thank you that you always hear me. And Lazarus came forth, didn't he? And when he needed a lot of food to feed a lot of people, and he had a little sack lunch, a boy's little sack lunch, he blessed it and he said, thank you, Father. You notice he didn't ask God to multiply those loaves and fishes. He just thanked him for what he had, and God multiplied it. Thankfulness is your ticket to receiving from God. Ask God, but say thank you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for giving me this. It's in your word. I see it in your word. It's mine. Thank you for that. Verse 21 says, you shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of the destruction when it comes. There's so many people get so wrapped up in what somebody else is saying about them. See, this is where you turn the other cheek. You don't turn the other cheek when somebody's slapping you around. You don't turn the other cheek when they're physically attacking you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have absolutely no business bowing your knee to the devil. And when you back down from intimidation, domination, and manipulation, you're bowing your knee to the devil. Manipulation, intimidation, and domination are witchcraft, and it comes straight from the pit of hell. You don't bow your knee to that. When somebody attacks you physically, you come out of that corner fighting like a mad coon. Well, that's not the Christian thing to do. Oh, baloney, don't tell me that, you coward. Turning the other cheek, somebody says a bad thing to you, whatever. Whatever. Just go on with life and go on. God will take care of that situation. There's too many women that are getting pounded on sometimes daily. In their marriage, they're getting beaten daily, some of them. And some of them have been told, you can't get divorced. You got to stay in that marriage. No, you don't. If that man is beating on you like that, get out of there. If you can't call somebody to come help you, get out of there and stay out of there. God did not ever put you in a marriage where you're to be beaten on like that. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but last summer, the whole Midwest was in a miserable drought. A bad one. There was cows leaving by the truckloads. All over the place. I seen videos in Texas where there was lines of trailers coming both directions to the cell barn. People hauling cows in, getting rid of them. There was no more feed. They were drought out. And it wasn't just in Texas, it was all the way up to Montana. And there was one little green spot right here around a little old Fort Davis. It had a lot of rain. Praise God. Praise God. You know, the devil's promoting another El Nino. And there's a lot of people that are going to believe that. They're going to believe it. They're going to receive what they believe. We don't have to receive that. We can receive green pastures. We can receive an abundance of rain. We're not going to participate in a failing economy. We're going to participate in the kingdom of God and His finances. We're going to participate in the kingdom of God and His blessings reign. That's what we're going to participate in. And you can have what you believe. You're going to receive what you believe. It's one of the dangers. I've talked to a lot of people, and I've asked them, I said, why do you go to church where you go? Because they would come to me and ask for prayer. And they said, I don't think my pastor's in line. And I said, why do you go there? Well, that's where all my friends go. That's where grandma went. I said, do you realize that what you hear, that's what you're going to believe. And what you believe, that's what you're going to receive. And if you're not sitting under the word of faith, how can you expect to operate in the things of faith? I know, but that's where my wife wants to go. I've heard all the different excuses. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. Pay attention to what you're listening to. If you're not getting the word of faith, you need to boogie on out of there. Americans, a lot of American Christians have become so spineless that they're not going to be able to stand up to much trouble. You know, a little tiny bit of persecution causes them to stay in a bad position. I was in church in Midland one day, and I seen a lady. She was getting born again. And she got born again, and she was leaned up against the wall crying. It was just dramatic. And I asked Miss Ann, I said, what's that about? And she said, well, she's Jewish. And she said all her life she had been told that Jesus was a thief and not a risen Savior. Not only, her whole world changed at that point. Not only did she get born again, and now she was going to have to go home and face a family that was going to tell her that Jesus was a thief. And that she was crazy for putting her trust in Jesus. She possibly was going to get kicked out of her household. See, we don't know much about persecution. You know, Christians a lot of times get all hurt feelings, you know, if somebody says a mean thing about them. But I'm talking about persecution where Christians get dragged out of their house by their hair. And beaten, and get their Bibles, if they have one, burned. And if they do have one, they get thrown in jail for it. See, we need to understand, we live in a wonderful place. I know there's some problems and there's some troubles that are coming down the road and some troubles around us. But don't look at the wind and the waves. Look to Jesus. He's our protector. He carries a staff and a rod. The rod is to beat the wolves off. Not the sheep. Beat the wolves off. And that staff, I don't know if any of you have ever seen one, maybe in shepherd scenes, you know, cartoons, The staff is a long cane. It's a big, long cane. Have you ever wondered what that's about? And surely that guy's grandpa wasn't a giant that needed an 8-foot-long cane. No. See, sheep have this tendency to run into bogs, get into muddy waters, and they get stuck. And then the shepherd goes out there with his staff and puts that around his neck and pulls him out of the mud and brings him to safety. How many of us have ever been bogged down? We've gotten in trouble. You know, we weaved when we should have wobbled. You know, we done something that got us in trouble. And all we could do is cry out to Jesus, "Save me." The staff comes out and pulls us to safety. Thank God for a good shepherd. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is here to help us and teach us and guide us, and keep us from trouble. And when we do get in trouble, thank God for Jesus, who's here to pull us out. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for everything that Jesus does for us on a daily basis as our high priest, making intercession for us, causing us to be in the right place at the right time so that we can receive his blessings. And thank you for Holy Spirit, who's always here to teach us and guide us. And when we listen to his voice, he'll lead us to your blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have a lot of food, so come on back and have some. Huh?